Joining us now on the BetQL guest line is our buddy Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Sammy, what up, dude?
Hey, guys. My bad. I'm glad to be on with you.
All good. Now, there's some real football stuff to discuss, but I did want to start with perhaps the most eventful, most dangerous move of the weekend down in South Florida. Brian, what do you think the most eventful, most dangerous play of the weekend was?
I don't have a clue.
Not when Jaden Daniels ran.
I'm not even thinking about that one.
Okay. Well, then, 48, let Brian know what you did this weekend, because it was by far the most dangerous thing anyone I knew in South Florida did this weekend.
B. Mitch, I used to cover the Nationals, right? And when I used to cover spring training, it was up near Jupiter, Florida, where they have this expedition that you can pay to go swimming with sharks. And it is not in a cage. It is like you are out in the open water. You got to, like, hold on to this rope. But basically, you hold on to the rope, and this, like, you know, this diver who's basically like a circus clown, like, they throw chum in the water. They get a bunch of sharks over there, and then you are just, like, watching sharks swim around and almost hit you. And so I just decided, like, Saturday morning before the game, I was going to drive up and go swim with some sharks.
What makes you think that that is fun? I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
It's a great question. I've been scared of sharks since I was, like, a little kid. My parents live on an island in Maine. That's, you know, where I grew up, and there was a shark attack out in front of their house, like, 2 years ago. And I don't know why. I just, like, was like, I'm very scared of this. I want to do it. And so that's why I did it.
Now, I have swam with sharks.
Very smart, man.
I've swam with sharks, but I was in a cage. Like, being out there just open water, and I understand you're holding a rope.
Is it really swimming with the sharks when you're in the cage?
Not compared to what he did. Now, granted, I was
swimming with dolphins, but I am swimming with sharks.
I've swam with dolphins, too. They're not looking to eat you, though.
They can hurt you, though.
Tell them the biggest ones you saw, Sammy.
So we get in the water, and there's a couple of, like, reef and bull sharks. They're probably about, like, they're a little bit bigger than, you know, an average NFL player. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, I was definitely scared. Like, these sharks are for real. And they were around for probably 20 minutes, and then they left. There were probably, like, four or five of them. They left, and there was, like, nothing in the water for, like, 15 minutes. And we're just standing there with snorkels, and I'm like, all right. Like, you know, some people got out of the water because they were like, it's, like, kind of over. And then I saw, like, just, like, I turned my head, and I swear to God, it was like a scene from Jaws. There were three huge lemon sharks that, like, came out of nowhere. Wow. And
oh, they were auctioning you off, dog.
the diver stuck her head out of the water, and she, like, said to the captain of the boat, she was like, hey, just so you know, there's three lemons. And that made me even more scared, because I was like, if this professional is, like, has to let somebody know, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah, they were like, hey, he's over there. He doesn't know.
All right. So we're about to talk football here, but I have to ask B, because BJL in the chat said it. Our buddy Greg just texted and said it. Sam told me a story Saturday night of a friend of his saying this. Does swimming with sharks qualify as white people bleep?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't. We know. Look, if the sharks know dolphins are around, they don't come. So that's why you swim with the dolphins. When I went over to, I was in Bermuda. I've never seen so many brothers and sisters in water in my life. And we were all swimming with dolphins. I heard, hey, y'all want to go swim with the shark? No, nah. We won't do this over here.
All right. We're talking with our boy Sam Fortier, who just swam with a bunch of sharks in Florida. Sammy, what did you think of the effort both offensively and defensively? What did we learn in Miami besides the fact that you swim with sharks?
Yeah, I mean, the most notable one, which you guys have probably covered, is Jaden Daniels. I mean, still looked good, still made fast decisions. Not exactly sliding yet, but I think that he has great command of the offense, and you got to be encouraged by his development. Defensively, I think they were, you know, they looked okay. I was impressed. I thought it was Jamin Davis's best game off the edge. Obviously, you know, he had that pressure, and I think that, like, I still am concerned about the outside corner positions, and I think they have you know, ways to go as a unit. But I think you have to feel okay about where the unit is at. Although I have said that in years past, and it hasn't worked out so well. So I'm always cautious about what I'm taking away from preseason games.
I agree with you there. I think going forward, and you asked Dan, I almost said Ron. You asked Dan about it Saturday night, if Jaden will play this weekend. I don't think he's going to play, but I do think Dan's about to name him QB1. What does your gut tell you? What are you expecting when we hear from DQ in, you know, 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, he's shown everything you want him to show. What's left to prove? And I think at this point, the only thing that that can happen is for him to get injured, right? Because he's already shown, you know, he's the guy. He can do this thing. And so I would be in the same boat as you. I think we're about to get him named QB1, and we'll see you in Tampa.
He played three series, but he didn't even play three series with his starting offensive line. You don't think he needs to get more familiarity with them?
I can hear that argument for sure, but, I mean, I don't know that the line will be better this week, right? Because we're not sure if Brandon Coleman's going to go. If he were going to go, maybe it's a little different, but I don't think that there is – I don't think the reward would be worth the risk. Do you?
I think so, because if he goes in and they do basically what they've done the last 2 weeks, you have to call a game plan to where you you're protecting him with the game plan and get it out of his hands. You know, but the ultimate thing is we in this town act as if we have the only quarterback that's worth something to everybody else. Other people play their star quarterbacks too, but they get him out the game. He has to learn how to protect himself. He has to learn how to play better with the people around him. Hell, they got to learn how to play better with him. Obviously, Wally doesn't know how to stay on side for his snap count. So you got to figure out something.
I hear you, and I think that if you look back at the past quarterbacks, you know, since the NFL went to three preseason games, which I think is like in 2021, most starting quarterbacks have played in week three. Trevor Lawrence did it. A couple other guys did it last year. So I think there is a strong argument for starting him. Just maybe this is just me being too cautious, but like I don't think that they're going to go to the playoffs. I think it's going to be a long shot for the playoffs this year anyway. So like, what's the risk and reward versus letting him just figure it out in the regular season? I don't think that there is a big problem with that. And so if the games don't count, don't push it. Because last week he showed you can call the game plan like you do, but you're not going to make him slide any more than he feels like he needs to.
I think the argument of should or shouldn't has just emerged, has just like changed, evolved, whatever you want to say. We could say they should or shouldn't, and then Andy Reid goes out and proves how he runs an operation, but the rest of the NFL just plays it so cautious. It seems like Tua for Miami is going to play one series all preseason, and we saw it the other night. You know what I mean? Like, I just think one thing that I think we don't know enough about, and I'm curious where you land on this 48 because I know you love the numbers. Through three series, through 15 pass attempts, Jaden Daniels hasn't gone downfield much. The only real downfield throw was when he audibled into the pass to Diami down the sideline. I very much believe Cliff, the play calling has been conservative, and they don't want to risk much. They don't want to show much. Do you think that there are broader conclusions to be drawn from kind of the lack of depth per target, if you will?
I don't think that is indicative of what the offense will be. And by that, I mean, I agree with you. Cliff Kings, like, they will stretch the field this year. And I think you see that in the joint. I mean, obviously you couldn't see it in the Jets joint practice because it was downpouring. But, I mean, when we talked to Kendall Fuller after the Dolphins joint practice, he said the things that were different about the offense from when he faced it in practice for the last 4 years or whatever it was the fact that they went up-tempo and they stretched the field. And if you look at, you know, Cliff's previous stops, if you look at what Jaden was good at in college, like, yeah, I think they're definitely going to stretch the field. The fact that the only deep pass Jaden has thrown is the one that he audibled to in that first preseason game, I think shows you, like, he's going to have that ability. So I wouldn't read too much into what they're doing in the preseason games at all. I think there's going to be a vertical offense that likes to go up-tempo because that's Cliff's identity.
We got to let you run. Good luck on the toll road. Watch out for the speed traps. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Swimming with sharks, huh?
Yep, I thought you'd like that. That is Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Give a follow at Sam4TR.